Tuesday. Today is April the 22nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, the USDA came out with their April cattle on feed report, and the numbers are interesting as we look at the trends month over month and year over year. It sort of sheds light on why beef prices in the supermarket are as high as they are. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, last week, USDA released its cattle on feed report, and after looking at some of the numbers, it's not a surprise why beef prices in the supermarket are where they are. Now, cattle and calves on feed for the slaughter market in the United States for feedlots with a capacity of 1,000 head or more totaled 11.6 million head on April the 1st of this year. That inventory was 2% below what it was a year ago, according to the USDA, and the inventory included 7.26 million steers and steer calves. That was down slightly from the previous year. That group accounted for 62% of the total inventory. Now, heifers and heifer calves accounted for 4.38 million head, that down 4%. That's a trend we're going to see is lower numbers. Now, one change was in placements and feedlots during March. That totaled 1.84 million head. That was 5% above a year ago, but net placements were 1.79 million head during March, and placements of cattle and calves weighing less than 600 pounds were 335,000 head. The 600 to 699s were 285,000 head. The 7 to 799 pounders were 475,000 head, while the 8 to 899s were 506,000 head. The 900 to 999 pounds were at 175,000 head, and then the 1,000 pound and greater were at 65,000 head. So marketing of fed cattle during March totaled 1.73 million head. That was 1% above 2024, but not enough to meet the demand. Other disappearances totaled 55,000 head during March. That was 4% lower than it was a year ago. Now, last week's cattle on feed report came out close to what the analyst estimates were, although placements were slightly higher, and so were a number of fed cattle marketed. That, according to Shaylee Stewart, a lead analyst for DTN. Now, she said it may seem a little jaw-dropping to see that 5% increase we talked about in March placements from last year, but what wasn't mentioned was that a year ago, March placements were actually down 12%, only totaling 1,746,000 head. So March of 23, there were actually 1,990,000 head placed. And so that was down 1% actually if we compare to the 2022 data. So today, seeing placement data come in at 1,841,000 head is not that bewildering when you consider the varying circumstances we've seen in the ups and downs in recent years. To break the placement data down specifically, we did see some states that saw placement figures increase compared to a year ago. Those were mostly in the West and in the South. Arizona was up 9%. Idaho was up 14%. Kansas was up by 8%. Nebraska 11% more, with South Dakota up 3%. And Texas up just 1%. And in terms of individual weight groups, every single class did see greater placements compared to where it was a year ago. So if you take all that into account, sort of from that 10,000-foot view of the market, the record high prices seen at sale barns in March, the increase in imports from Mexico, and buyers concerned that feeder cattle supplies are only going to be harder to come by closer to the grass turnout season arrives, it does make sense why we see placements higher than they were compared to a year ago. So seeing placements up 5% compared to where they were last year may seem a little bit confusing at first, but when you look at the total data that was down 12% in March of 24, that category isn't so much a surprise. Traders will find the gains made this week in the fed cattle market more important than the news from the cattle on feed report, most likely, and that will be viewed as neutral to somewhat bearish simply because of that year-over-year comparison. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Well, in a usually quiet month in USDA's series of production, supply, and demand reports, the April forecast did receive some attention. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
Usually, April series of USDA reports, the monthly crop production forecast, and commodity supply and demand estimates, tends to be quiet. Agriculture Department Chief Economist Seth Meyer explains some of the details making up the April reports.
We had a hogs and pigs report, and we had a quarterly grain stocks, so we did impose those changes into this WASD.
Yet the X factor within the April world and domestic balance sheets was trade. A reminder from the chief economist that on the day of a world agricultural supply and demand estimate release,
we assume policy in place. So tariffs that China has placed on us in retaliation and the tariffs we have placed on them are assumed to continue throughout the remainder of this marketing year and into next marketing year.
So how were tariffs incorporated into the April WASD? Meyer starts with explaining.
We're incorporating the tariff effects that are in place. We primarily see that in cotton and in pork in these balance sheets.
So regarding the global and U.S. cotton ledger.
This is an interesting effect in that it is not necessarily showing up in our trade in cotton, but overall cotton demand coming back into the U.S. in textiles. China represents, I believe, more than 20% of the textiles that we import. And so that very high tariff reduces our overall cotton demand. So it's having an impact on global cotton demand because we are one of the largest cotton textile purchasers, and China is a significant supplier to that. So we see some of the action from our tariffs on China affecting global cotton markets.
And as for the pork balance sheet,
I would have said that supplies in the hogs and pigs report should have been supportive of hog prices, and yet we made some downward revisions, a significant part of that being trade effects.
With other commodities such as corn,
we didn't make changes to corn, for instance. Part of this is because we don't have any corn on the books to China. We haven't sold corn to China this year, and at the same time, we're 2/3 to 3/4 marketed for that crop.
He adds the full scope of tariff actions are expected to be noted in USDA's May reports, the first covering the 2025-26 crop marketing year. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.